Thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And we're in lesson 17 this morning. And turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And as we was working down through here last lesson, we were into what they call the Beatitudes. This is actually the constitution of the kingdom, if you will. Jesus Christ is presenting himself as king. He's up on a mount, and he's given the constitution of what that kingdom is going to be like. We broke down a lot of verses last lesson, but this time we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And we start out there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely, and for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. 5:8, blessed are the pure heart. Turn to Psalms chapter 24 with me. We looked at some things about being blessed last lesson, and it's just not you and I, if you will. And Psalms chapter 24, verses 1 through 10. Psalms chapter 24, 1 through 10. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world, and they that dwelleth therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lifted up your heads, O ye gate, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Now this is another second coming passage that the Lord is sharing in times past, and he's talking about the pure in heart will be in the kingdom to worship who? God. Okay? That's what this is. Blessed are the pure of heart, and that's what that passage was. All people will at one time or another see God in faith or in what? Judgment. Everybody's going to see him, are they not? Yes. This verse is about specific saints who will see God. In Psalms. That's who the pure of heart. Blessed are the pure of heart. They're going in that kingdom. They're going to see God, the Lord of hosts, sitting on that throne. Go to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah 33. Verse 14. Isaiah 33, verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding bribes, and stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be pure. Their eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Thou shalt behold the land that is very far off. that's a specific group that there's going to see some things over there in ages to come. Verse 9 of Matthew. Blessed are the peacemakers. Once again, there will never be peace on this earth until who? Christ returns, the second coming of God. Now, I know everybody's talking about peace, 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 peace. There's no peace on this earth. There isn't. But there can be peace in you and I, can't they? You know, the peace that passeth all understanding. We can have peace in our mind and peace in our soul. You know, I think about that soul and how there's a war raging for your soul. You know, once you're saved, you're sealed and you can't get out of it. He protects you. He seals you. He guards you. But there's an attack before you were saved on your spirit and soul. And I got to think about that. Why would somebody want your spirit and soul? Why would the devil want to possess or try to control your spirit and soul? Does a soul ever die? So if someone can get, like the devil wants, you know, he's going to convince you not to believe the gospel of your salvation. So he's got your soul, does he not? And your spirit. So where's that soul and spirit going to end up at? In hell, in a lake of fire, and does it just fizzle out? And it burns what? Forever. So that soul, that lost soul, is going to live forever. And if you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, your soul becomes a living soul, and it lives forever. So I'm thinking about this. There's peace with that. You know, we talked about the cancers and things going on in our bodies and all that stuff. You know, right now our bodies don't have peace, but our soul and our spirit can't it? You know, so that's the peace that surpasseth all understanding. And we put that mind on. We know how to rightly divide the word of truth, and we know what to expect. Verse 10, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're going to do what's right. Okay, for what? Righteousness' sake. Verse 11, Blessed are ye when men shall revile on you. When they say bad things about you for doing right and for Christ's sakes, that's what's going to happen in the kingdom. Now, let me ask you something. You as a Christian today in the body of Christ, do you get railed alone? Do you get things thrown at you for doing what's right? Some people say if you don't, then you're not doing nothing right to have nobody to come against you. I know what this message has done for me and my spirit and soul and body for standing for truth. When people throw things at you, they write things about you, they, you know, curse at you, and you lose friends and neighbors. And it is just sad. So even in the body of Christ today, this can affect you. But when all else fails, what do? You still stand, don't you? You know, this message is very unique and for all of us, this message of grace in the dispensation of grace. You know, once you understand some things in that, you know, and it's settled in your mind and your heart, you know, you're not going to be moved. You know, you're there. And it's just sad. Verse 13, Matthew. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but is cast out, and it to be trodden under foot of men. He's telling the kingdom saints there, they're the salt of the what? The earth. Salt, as we know it, affects things, doesn't it? Okay? And it can affect good things, and it can affect bad things. Okay, it has a way of stopping corruption that salt does. I remember when I was a young child, we grew up on a 300-acre farm beside of us. They had a dairy farm on one end, and they had a slaughterhouse on the other end. And in that slaughterhouse, we used to love to go down there, and they'd skin those animals, okay? And they take those animal hides up in that barn, and guess what they put on them, each layer? Salt. It would preserve that hide. It would stop that corruption. With me? It stops that corruption of that hide from deteriorating. You put a salt on a wound, what does it do? It burns, and then what? starts to heal. You know, it starts to heal. Salt makes things tasty, and it also preserves, doesn't it? You know, you go out some of these areas where we live, and you know, most people call the food down in Amish country, and all, it's very bland. You know, and there's a reason for that. They don't use too much preservatives, if you will, salt and pepper. So well, guess what you do? You add all kinds of salt for that taste. Well, I've learned a long time ago, you know, I asked my dad, which was a reasonable guy, you know, some things about, Dad, why don't they want you to have salt anymore? Because when I was growing up in school, they give you salt tablets. Because you was out there running football, you know, outside, you needed that salt. And he looked at me, he goes, I could go on national TV. You got to know my dad. He said, and I could share this. And he said, they'd shut me up. He goes, I said, okay, what is it? He said, nobody works no more. He said, everybody's in air-conditioned buildings, and they don't work. If you don't sweat, you don't need that salt. But if you sweat, you need to put that salt back in your body. Okay, so it does taste and it does preserve things. Paul talks about, let your speech be what? Seasoned with salt. There's an old saying, you can't lead a horse to water. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him what? You know how you make that horse drink? You salt the oats. So if this speech is going out and this word's going out the right way, you'll salt somebody's appetite where they'll get thirsty and they'll come and listen to right division. Verses 14 through 16, Matthew. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let me ask you, ye. Who's he talking to? Israel, okay? The kingdom saint. He's gathered them up. And by the way, where's he at again? But what area? Galilee. Yeah, Galilee. He's not down in Jerusalem. Remember, when John the Baptist got cast in prison, he got out of there. He's up north. Okay? He's up there in the Galilee of the Gentiles, which what Israel, apostate Israel, called those Jewish believers up there. And Jesus Christ is right up there picking them out. You, and he's preaching to them. Ye, Israel, are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Ye that believe in Remnant, with me, the ones that's following him, believing him, are the light of the world. In Luke 15, you don't have to turn there, but it talks about these things. Go to Isaiah, for sake of time, Isaiah 60, if you're writing this down, 1 through 20. Let's read a couple verses in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Who's that thee?
Israel.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen unto thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness for rising. You read on down through there, it has to do about a second coming, about the light and the light. What they're sharing is a testimony in that darkness. You remember the plagues when gross darkness was over the land. What was the light and all the light that had been seen in that whole Egypt world? Where was the light at?
It was in Israel.
In Israel, where that group of people, that little light was shining in darkness of all that dark land, was a light down there, and it was Israel. You know, we sing songs, this little light of mine, right? I'm going to let us put it under a bushel. Oh, no. If you put it under a bushel, what good is it?
It
Can't see it. And also got what? Goes out. You know, didn't Gideon have a bowl, a clay bowl with a light in there? Kind of hid. You know, like it was open, but he was hid. And then went out there and I busted it and all that light came out. You know, with all the armies and stuff.
Isn't that a reference to the Jewish nation as being blessed by God and the way they lived? Everything worked. There was no sickness, no disease. That light was to shine. As long as they kept the Ten Commandments, right? And then that light would shine. So the Gentiles then would flee and come to that light.
That's what we just read, that they're supposed to be like, now, Lord Jesus Christ, the verses that we just read in Matthew, be turning John chapter 8, that Israel was supposed to be that, ye are the light of the world. Okay? That little rim. The nation Israel, as a whole, was supposed to have been a light from the time they came out of Egypt throughout a prophecy program. But when Lord Jesus Christ come on the scene, Was Israel that was in charge there, was they a light as the light that God set them up in times past? No. So he goes up north and chooses a little remnant. And it, once again, was he baptized as John the Baptist, right? It was for us to fulfill righteousness. Lord Jesus Christ identifying him with John the Baptist ministry and that little remnant with me. Okay, and he takes that light, that little remnant, there's going to be a light within the light, which is darkness, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah. So, I see a light.
And the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding that little remnant who they're going to be in that kingdom. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of what? Life. See, Jesus Christ is in that dark world, is he not? Okay? And he is the light, and whoever follows him is going to be the light. Go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Now, when he's in the world, what is it? Is it nighttime? It's daytime. He is the light of the world. Not the earth. The world. And you know what I think about the world? I think it's a system. Okay? It's not what you see out there. It's either, you know, are you with me? Okay. The night cometh when no man can work. So Lord Jesus Christ knows nighttime's coming. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the what? Okay. Now, is he in the world today? Only in who?
In His Word.
And where's that at? Spiritually. He is inside of you, is He not?
Right.
Well, He's supposed to be.
Right.
Okay? So you are a light.
We are to let that light shine.
In word and deed, yes. When Jesus Christ came, He is a light. He is the light, and the earth was experiencing daytime. Okay? When he was resurrected and left the earth, nighttime came, and guess what it is? It's still here. Many of you shaking your head, yes. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? We know how dark it got in the 12th hour, didn't we? From 12 to 3, didn't it not get dark on that cross? Darkness came. However, these believing remnants of God's Word will reflect God's life until the nighttime, until He comes back. So you are reflecting God's light in this dark world, are you not? Should you be? We should be. And a lot of people out here in this world thinking they're shining the light, and they're not shining the light. Now, many of you know what I'm talking about because it's a doctrinal issue.
Right.
Okay? And they think they're doing the right things, but they're not. They're in that darkness. Then you go to Malachi chapter 4. Lord Jesus Christ is nighttime until He comes back. Now, where's the Lord Jesus Christ at right now? He's in royal exile, is He not? Okay, He's not just in some faraway land hiding underneath a cupboard somewhere. He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and He is a light. And does He not change our vile body into a glorious body? You know what that glorious is? It's light. Okay? We're going to put on His body. It's going to be a light to be shining in the universe. You know, there's a lot more to what we're studying out here than what one leads you to believe. But the book of Matthew is portraying God as who? King. Okay, and where's His king going to be setting a kingdom at? On earth. Okay, where did I say to go? Malachi 4. Malachi 4:1-3. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly. Remember what I told you about being proud? I'm not proud of my children. I'm thankful for my children, because, you know, you can take for what's worth. Shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun... What is that? S-O-N or S-U-N? S-U-N. See that brightness? The sun of righteousness arise, and with healing in His wings. He shall go forth and grow up as casts of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. When is He going to do that? Did He do it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? That second coming passage. He that baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Somebody's going to get a baptism of fire over there, and it's not a good baptism. Go to Psalms chapter 6. And get Matthew 13. Psalms chapter 6. Psalms chapter 6. Matthew 13. We've got several verses to look at here. Psalms chapter 6, verse 10. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. They're going to be ashamed when that light comes. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Starting in verse 37. Matthew 13, 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the what? Wicked. And if you go over to verse 33, you can talk. He shares that with you. But look, the enemies that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burn in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall set forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offended, and them that doeth iniquity. And it shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be a wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the son in the kingdom of their father, who hath to hear, let him what? Hear. The son of righteousness, the son of king, there's going to be a light. When that burn, he burns up that unrighteousness thing over there, he tears. Go to Isaiah, well, we just read Isaiah 60 about a light and light in the world. Go to Isaiah, or Song of Solomon. Go to Song of Solomon. It's right after Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. While you turn there, I'm going to read another verse out of Isaiah 60 that we didn't get to, verses 19 and 20. The sun, S-U-N, shall be no more thy light by day, neither the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun, S-U-N, shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thy everlasting light, and the days of the morning shall be ended. He's the light of the world. And when he's down here, there's light, there's no darkness. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. My blood is white and ruddy, and chief among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of a dove by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set in beryl, and his belly is a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs, I'm going to stop right there, No, keep reading. His legs as the pillars of marble set upon the sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellency as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. You know who that just identified? That's the only description you're going to find in your Bible what Jesus Christ looked like on this earth. And he didn't have, I don't think he had long hair, blue eyes, sandy brown hair with a pointed beard. Okay?
He said he won television the other day, said, I'll be coming soon. Had all right
through. Well, there's a misleading representation of what Jesus Christ looks like. And just about every Bible you open up, they got a certain picture of what he looks like. And I do solemnly believe that when we're taken out of here and the Antichrist is on this earth, he's going to look like that picture in that Bible. Now, that might upset a lot of people, but I do believe that.
That's exactly true.
God tells everybody you're not supposed to have no graven images of Him. That's why He don't have no pictures of Himself other than what the Word of God says.
Right.
And that's the only place it shows you what He looks like. Eyes like a dove. Curly black hair locks. It don't say long like. If you know what a real Jew looked like, Israelite, you can tell exactly what it was like. And what did they tell Nicodemus and others call him?
Rabbi.
Rabbi's got a certain look about him. Okay? He's got a square beard, not a pointed beard. Now, I know that upsets a lot of people. And Paul, our apostle to the body of Christ, tells it's a shame for a man to have what? Long hair. Now, if God told Paul to write that, you think Jesus Christ had long hair? Well, aren't there some description as Jesus disappeared in a crowd of the Romans? And, you know, now how could he disappear? And you've seen all the pictures of Rome, all the people in leadership. Did they have long hair or short hair? Okay. Now how could he disappear in a crowd if he was looking like different than anybody else? I know that might, once again, it might upset a few people out there listening, but believe the words of God. Don't believe me. Look for it yourself. That's Him. Verses chapter 6, verse 10 of the Song of Solomon. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as the army with banner? Who are they looking for? Who is that? Go to Psalms chapter 30. Back up here. Go to Psalms. Psalms 30. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hey, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back on this earth, there's going to be light back in this earth. And the people that can acknowledge that and know who he is, it's going to be joyfulness. But right now, it's a type of mourning that we all wish he'd return right now, don't we? Go to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 5. Now we know, I study in the Word of God, right, divided. Who is Satan today? He's God of this world and the prince of power of the air. Okay? He is controlling some things. Okay? It's dark out there. And if you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, he places you in his body. He makes you a light in this world, and you've got a ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not imputing trespasses against you, but has given you the ministry of reconciliation. You want to share some good news with some people out there? Share that God's not imputing trespassing sins with him. He's with peace with this dark world right now. And you got a message that say, hey, get it right with God right now. And be a part of that. Because it's dark out there. And if you want to be a part of that world, that system that's ever eating us up like a canker. It's starting with our young. And it's growing up to people our ages and older. And they're losing their idea, they're losing who they are in Christ, or wanting to lose, and they're going on because it's more pleasant over there, what seems to be life. I know it may seem like I'm rambling, but don't. If God is a light, and he's inside of you, and you're a light in this dark world, even in a dispensation sense, who is a counterfeiter? You don't think he's out there counterfeiting a light?
That's right.
And you don't think he's got minister of light?
Absolutely.
You better know your Bible, and you better know what you stand for, and you better know how to rightly divide it, because I tell you, you'll fall for anything. You'll fall for anything. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not. After all he's talked about, okay? Think not that I come to destroy the law or of the prophets, but I come to destroy, come not to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. Think not, contrary to popular belief, this is not a cross reference or reference to what he did at Calvary. Okay, Matthew 16, go to Matthew 16, verse 21. Now what do we say in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16? From this time forth he began to show. Does he say that in Matthew 4? From this time forth he began to preach the kingdom of heaven as at. And that does not change until you get right over here in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and be King of kings and Lord of lords. Y'all better stay with me now. how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." And that verse, it started that from this time forth, Jesus began to show that he must suffer at the cross. Jesus intensifies the law and makes it so that they can do it without him. They can do it. Jesus speaks about a fulfillment of the law in terms of the kingdom of God. Okay? Is at hand. Which is now on hold because of what? The dispensation of grace. Colossians chapter 2. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of the holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to what? But the body is of..." What he just describes are the things of that law, to fulfill that law, which are a shadow of things to... It's not now, it's to come. Let's look at a couple more verses. "But will be fulfilled in the ages to come," what I just shared. Look at Ezekiel chapter 45. Let's look at some of these verses and then we're going to close. Ezekiel 45, verse 17. Ezekiel 45, verse 17. "And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feast, in the new moons, and in the Sabbaths, and all the Solomites of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings to make reconciliation for the house of Israel." That's Ezekiel 45, verse 17. Now you just read what Paul said, "Let no man judge you." They're going to do this over there. Go to Zechariah. Zechariah, on your way, grab back up to Isaiah. You're in Ezekiel. Get Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66 and Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, verse 16. "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up and from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the feast of" what? Wait a minute now. Now, if you're going, why ain't you doing that today? Okay, but a lot of people won't acknowledge that, and they're out here, they're out there still doing the tabernacles, they're still doing the law, they're still doing sacrifices, they're still doing the circumcision, they're still doing baptism. You know, you can take your baptism, or you can take the circumcision away, but I'll keep my baptism. Okay, there's a group of people. Who does it say it was? All people are going to go up to that King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's sitting on the throne and do the feast days. Go to, keep your finger there. Go to Isaiah 66. See, if you once again, what's the key to understanding the Bible? You have to, because if you take these verses, Paul says this, and then Ezekiel says this, and Isaiah says that, and you're like, what do I do? And I can see people getting so frustrated, they just throw their Bible down and say, it's easier for me to go back under here and do whatever I want to do. Amen. Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall that your seed and your name remain. Wonder who he's talking about there. Amen. Verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all the flesh come to worship me before me, saith the Lord. Now, has that happened yet?
Nope.
When he sits on that millennium kingdom for a year, go back to Zechariah, for 1,000 years, all the people of the earth that's here are going to go to Jerusalem and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and protect and the sacrifices and all the laws, commandments, Mosaic's gone, Messianic's there, commandments, stuff like that, and you wonder about that. I do.
Well, I think they'll keep the Ten Commandments, but they won't be doing the sacrifice because Jesus is already done that.
I beg to differ. They do it for a memorial.
Oh, okay.
See, they're still killing animals. They're still didn't you just read that, the sacrifices? Go to Zechariah chapter 14 again, verse 16. Read it again. And it shall come to pass, Zechariah 14:16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, everyone that is left. So guess where the other ones are gone? Did they go to heaven? No. They went to judgment. Jesus Christ came down and baptized them with fire, what he did. And which came against Jerusalem shall even go up into the year, from year to year, to worship the King and the Lord of hosts and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King and the Lord of hosts, even unto them shall be no rain. And verse 18, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. They shall be plagued wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You're talking about the law coming down on you. Oh, Mr. Officer, please don't write me up. You know where the law is written on their hearts, okay? And he puts it on them. Now, it ain't got nothing to do with us. Excuse me. It has nothing to do with us. But you can see when he sits on that earth, there's judgment. There's a hole burning in that earth right there that they can see Edom. And they can see Satan down there that deceived them. For 1,000 years, they go by that. And go right up to the Jerusalem and worship Him. Lord of Lords. Okay? But the ones that don't, guess what happens? They don't get rain. They get judgment. Until next week.